Good afternoon. Today is Monday, July the 9th, 198th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County Superintendent. Are your eyes working any better than
I? Well, I just wanted to double check. I wondered if you wake up every morning and count the number of days that have passed.
No.
But you're using the calendar. Okay, I feel better.
In fact, this morning is my birth or anniversary today. Neither of us can remember really how many unless we think really hard.
Well, as long as you're enjoying them and you plan on celebrating, don't forget.
Yeah. No. She laid out the ground rules.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you very much. This afternoon, what do we got to talk about? Oh, state budget. Oh, boy, would that be a blast. Actually, it could be kind of halfway fun because there is some good news in the mix.
There are some pluses and there are some challenges, but aren't there always?
Yeah. So we'll focus on the good parts when we come back.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Gary Eagles from the County Office of Ed. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Fletcher Keeble. Find a man with both feet firmly on the ground, and you found a man about to make a difficult putt. This is going with your book. Yes.
Well, speaking of that, my compadre John Sapper is your community comment of the day.
Yeah, and he was talking about his golfing attempts.
Yeah, and actually recently for the St. Joe's Foundation.
Yep.
But I appreciate that he's enjoying his community comment opportunity.
Good. I figured he would have a chance to sound off.
Well, he does around the office, so he gets to do on the air.
Yeah, he just formalizes his thoughts a little bit, so he stays out of the who's count.
Well, John has a lot of good ideas, lots of good ideas.
How do you determine, or not determine, that may not be accurate, how do you double-check and make sure that your second tier of leaders, principals, local superintendents, folks like that, are doing things that are... Well, they put both feet on the ground. I was talking to a buddy this morning, and he had absolutely no idea. Brought in somebody, a new management position, and the guy was going 180 degrees against what he said, and all the new hires were told, don't talk to the owner.
Wow.
And he has an open-door policy.
But nobody's going through the door.
But nobody's going through, and, you know, you got things to do, so you don't really recognize it, and all of a sudden, the communication links are... severed.
Well, Brian, you've hit on it. Communication is critical. I would answer your question in two ways, two parallel ways. One, in terms of internal operations of the County Office of Education, and that is every year we adopt overall major thrusts for the office, and each one of the divisions and departments within the office identifies their part related to those major thrusts. And then that's at the front end of the year. We do a midpoint check, and at the end of the year, the managers come to me and report back in terms of their achievement relative to those items. So we're monitoring it all the way along the line. And, of course, what we try to do wherever possible is align our fiscal resources with what we've said our priorities are, because your budget is a reflection of your priorities, let's face it.
So you've got me out in the field somewhere, Humboldt County, and I don't get enough money. Or I don't get the supply, or I just don't get the invite to the Christmas party. I mean, you know, whatever it might be that gives me a slightly jaundiced perspective on reality. Of course, then I replicate that and spread it through my people.
Happens with every organization.
How do you keep that from occurring?
Routine follow-up meetings. When it comes to working with our school districts, we meet with them routinely, not only in person, but we communicate to them through email communications, because we are the bridge between the state of California, California Department of Education, federal government as well, and our local districts. And it's important that we keep that communication up as much as possible. Now, obviously, within each district, they're going to have their own methods of communication. But we try to provide solid advice. And in particular, when it comes to fiscal management issues and looking toward planning ahead, the crystal ball, we do err on a conservative standpoint. And the reason that we do is simply because, you know, local governmental agencies can't run in the red, unlike the federal government, which seems to run always in the red. Local governments can't. And so we do try to budget conservatively. And frankly, that history, that goes back more than three decades. And I think because we have been relatively conservative and our districts follow our advice, they have been able to weather up till now some really tough financial periods. Now, going forward, everybody's running out of money. They're running out of creative ideas. And frankly, they're running out of things that they can reduce without significantly harming education.
So if the creative pool has been drained, what I found is that there's two things. One, there's just the constant weight on your shoulder. Okay. But I, you know, that's probably more of a you and the folks at the county office rather than the superintendents or the principals get what they get. And whether it's flush or whether it's not, doesn't matter. They get what they get. That's the number, and they go.
But it's frustrating to them on the front line because they're the ones having to say no to teachers or no to parents or no to kids.
Do the teachers get the budgets off of the in the schools, off of what the principals receive from the superintendents?
Generally speaking, there's a school-based allocation, and then at the school level, there'll be some small amounts of money for school supplies in classrooms. But I have heard reports that in some of our school classrooms, they're down to $50 to $100 per classroom per year. That doesn't buy a lot.
Now, is that because a priority somewhere up the system is...
Yeah, you're trying to keep the teacher in the classroom and you're running out of money afterwards. You know, it's like, you know, we're looking to next year, we have the potential of an additional 8.5% cut in education followed on the top of big cuts. At some point, it catches up to you.
KINS News and Information Times 319.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money. You won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Gary Eagles. Gary, the state budget obviously impacts the local board's budget. I think everybody gets that connection. Is the percentage of the state budget that the county office gets today the same percentage that it was, let's say, when Louis was the superintendent?
Well, that's a good question. I'd have to say it probably isn't, and the fact it's probably larger. Okay. But I will have to pull on that. But it's based, school funding is based on a combination of local property tax assessment and state dollars. The reason why, for example, that the state government did away with redevelopment agencies is because a portion of local property taxes that would have gone to the state was being diverted and kept at the local level, of course, and reinvested through those redevelopment efforts. And the reason why the state wanted to do business differently is because they wanted to capture those dollars, because what ends up happening is that more property dollars now locally can feed school districts, and that means the general fund of the state of California will be less. So I'll do some research and let you know what it's been, and then I'll come back in another future show. We'll talk about it after the redevelopment, because it will shift for some of our areas. For example, Eureka, Fortuna, and school districts that serve Arcata, it will affect their balance of property tax and state. But keep in mind, there's been some real significant changes in the last 2 or 3 years with the housing market and all the foreclosures, particularly in the Central Valley.
I was just thinking out on the North Spit. You know, when the two pulp mills were there humming away.
Indeed.
There was significant, a lot of benefits, obviously, from the employment base as well as the property values. But now with those not functioning, or, you know, pick your favorite neighborhood mill,
right,
not operating, obviously it's worth a whole lot less than what it was before.
Yeah.
Impacting in a bunch of different ways, including funding for schools.
And that's right. And as the state has taken over the funding for schools and has guaranteed a minimum level of funding, then if the local property tax rules go down, the state general fund just gets impacted that much more. So that has been the impact of this recent downturn of the last 4 or 5 years, is the state of California is picking up a greater share of school funding. Which is one of the reasons why they're deliberately not sending the money forward that they should. We're projected next year to get 78 cents on the dollar from what we're supposed to be receiving under Prop 98, which of course was passed a long time ago to ensure minimum funding. And of that 78 cents on the dollar that we get, almost 30% of it is not paid on time. And even though next year's budget, the way the legislature passed it and the governor signed it, is based on the governor's tax measure passing in November, we will not see any money flow from that, believe it or not, until July of 2013, if it does pass. But we're supposed to start off next year with programs planned around the higher revenue limit, and then be prepared for the plan B of losing somewhere in the neighborhood of $400 to $450 a student mid-year if the taxes don't pass. Now, the last measure that the poll that was taken shows a slight favorite for passing the governor's measure, 52-53% or so. But that is a very slight measure, and that's with no real promotion against it. And you can be assured that there will be strong advertising against it the closer we get to November.
I would imagine CTA will step up, though, and lob heavy grenades.
There will be that effort on the other side. And, yeah, of course, then there's the other measure on the ballot, the measure that was sponsored by Molly Munger and the State Parent-Teacher Association, which is another tax measure. Different kind of animal, and maybe one of these days we'll have the opportunity to compare the two, because they are two different tax measures. They both provide money ultimately to schools, but they're structured entirely different and they have different outcomes. So one of the roles that I have as an elected official here representing education is to inform the electorate about the differences between the two and let them decide if the public likes either one of them.
I shouldn't smack you too hard then when you start sneaking that into the conversation. Okay, you know, that's fair.
I will inform and educate and leave it up to the public to decide what they want to do with the education.
I would find it really enlightening if the state would do a survey and ask the constituencies, what are your highest priorities? Give us 20 areas to select from and to see. Because, I think the perception is from most, we're paying enough taxes, thank you. You've got the priorities screwed up. Instead of maybe paying somebody $150,000 to sit on a commission, maybe they get paid $50,000 as a little stipend. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. And we do that times a couple thousand and see what we can come up with. Because if there was a listing of what's number one, it's going to be the same stuff we always hear. Roads, kids, cops, other stuff would be down below it. So, unfortunately, though, there's probably not enough wiggle room in there to execute that one before February or before November either.
Probably not.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30. We'll be back with more from Gary Eagles.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lampus to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:36. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Gary Eagles from the Humboldt County Office of Ed. From the notice, you're not the guy in charge. Because I know it's a team kumbaya kind of thing, right?
Well, it actually is. That's
see?
Right.
See, I've been paying attention to you for the last whatever number of years. Well, a percentage of the last number of years I've been paying attention to.
Oh, is that right?
How's that?
Okay.
Never have full knowledge. I've found that to be very successful. You said before the break, Gary, not only were the dollars in tight supply, so too was the creativeness. Because so much of the, whether it's a low-hanging fruit, if you like that analogy, or the easy stuff to implement, has been. And now it's still have the need there, but all the easy ones have been taken care of. How do you get everybody kind of pulling on the same? Because you've got different labor groups. You've got different perspectives. You've got different backgrounds. You've got some who've been there for 25 years in that school. You've got some who've been there for maybe 25 months. And you're putting everybody on common footing, which I know is challenging because of those various experiences that they've had. But yet they all, I would imagine, are interested in this common goal of keeping things going cost effectively. How do you foster that kind of thinking in a system that is often perceived as being rigid thought rather than creative thought?
Well, I'll tell you what I have found interesting as I've observed the last few years. When school districts up here in the north first started having declining enrollment, it wasn't every district. It were selected districts or selected sub-regions of the county. And they were beginning to experience some issues, but not everybody was in the same boat. We're now in a situation of sustained economic decline that now puts everybody in the boat. So there's a feeling of camaraderie, if nothing else, that we're all experiencing the same thing. But when I talk about running out of creativity, it's there's only so many things that you can do. For example, salaries have been frozen in most districts for a number of years. There haven't been cost of living adjustments. Health and welfare benefits, for the most part, have been picked up strictly by the employee, not by the employer. And now what do you come down to is rolling back the school year and actually reducing salaries, actually going backwards from the frozen salaries you've had for 3 or 4 years. And because there is still a belief that you need, there's only so many kids you can put in a classroom physically as well as from a learning standpoint. So if you have to maintain positions in classrooms, what do you do? Well,
it's a labor cost savings.
Yes.
For less days, it's not a
it's a labor
facilities.
Cost. It's actually both.
All that kind
it's
of
actually
stuff?
Both. When you completely shut down and turn the lights off and not run utilities and shut the plant, that's when you save. But
what my thought was, then you can continue on your role because I am listening. Why not extend the school day to 4 o'clock or 4:30, saving the same number of hours in the classroom? But then if you can shut the facility down for a couple of weeks or have prolonged vacation breaks or whatever, save there because you're not having then to pay for the heat and the electricity and some of that kind of stuff because you're not going to let the facility go cold. You're going to keep the heaters going, you know, during those days when you're there in school already.
Right.
Why not extend it that way? Would that be able to stretch anything?
It might. Right now, there's not a provision in Ed Code to do extended day and not cut days.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that somebody might not propose that and get that structured through the legislature.
But that's a state issue. That's not the state your local have, school doing
the it. The state would have to permit that in order for attendance accounting. And I do know that there's two or three districts in the state of California out of the 1,000 that there are that actually have four-day schools. But they are remote, mountainous schools that did it for transportation reasons years ago, not just as well as operations. And whether or not the state would allow that to go for all districts, I don't know. Nobody's proposed it yet. What the governor has said, though, is that if the tax measure doesn't pass and the cuts do take place for education, that districts can reduce off of the school year. Right now, the state of California has a 180-day school year. A couple of years ago, the state allowed districts, I guess it was 3 years ago, allowed districts to go to 175. In order to reduce personnel costs. And a number of school districts in the state of California, not here in Humboldt, but a number of them in the state did just that and rolled back salaries accordingly. Next year's budget, believe it or not, Brian, allows school districts in this state to reduce to 160 days a year. And the reason that is because there are a number of larger districts that are on the brink of financial ruin. And the only way that they can cut sufficient numbers of personnel costs is to really reduce the school year by a tremendous amount. Now, we are not seeing that size of reduction here, but I can tell you there are a number of districts who have on the books right now that if the cuts take place, that 5 days will come off and potentially more in 13-14. So we're beginning to see that even here.
KINS, News and Information Times, 342. We'll be back with more from Gary Eagles.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 345. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt County Superintendent of Schools, Gary Eagles. Gary, when you mentioned that personnel costs have gone from 83% in some areas as high as 91-92% of the total budget, what percentage of that is retirement? What percentage of that are bennies? What percentage of that are things that aren't direct dollar and cent compensation to the instructors?
Well, I'll give you some average figures. Right now in Humboldt County, probably the average teacher salary is about $55,000-$56,000. Next year's most typical benefit package, health and welfare benefit package, is right around $13,500 to $14,000 a year. When it comes to retirement, a teacher will pay about 8% into the system out of their own salary, and the employer will match it 8%. It's retirement systems for school teachers are different than a lot of other public retirement systems that people hear about. And STRS is not at the crisis that PERS is and some municipal governments are with their retirement programs. Except to say that STRS had the problem on the stock market the same way PERS did, and they lost, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars that they are going to have to recover over time. So that's been the biggest problem in terms of teacher retirement systems. But so there's a
retirement isn't
salaries.
A big chunk out of that budget that you were alluding to.
No. You know, like I said, 16% total of the salary, 8% shared between the two.
What percentage textbooks?
Oh gosh.
If 80, let's say 85%, so you got 15% of the budget.
Well, actually,
left.
You know, I don't want to quote a figure, but I'll just say a trend. A couple of years ago, new textbook purchases were not made mandatory in the state of California.
I remember you mentioning that.
The reason they did that is because they put that money in to be flexed. Those districts that had a particular need for textbooks could still spend the money on textbooks, but otherwise you didn't have to. You could flex that money.
So it wasn't categorical funding that then was untouchable for any of these other things.
No, it was still categorical, but they allowed you to flex it. So it was just a different way to say it, but yes. Now, and then there's a small portion of lottery money that comes in targeted for instructional materials. So what districts have done, it's been my experience anyway, in the last couple of years, that what districts did is they bought textbooks where they had maybe an expansion. For example, if you had a fourth grade social studies book, you might have bought extra 1 year only because you had 38 kids in the program and 35, and you needed three more social studies books. But we have gotten out of the cycle adoption for textbooks just simply because there hasn't been money in the budgets to be able to wholesale up-to-date books. And that's what I mean about the long-term consequences of sustained fiscal crisis. Maybe you can do a fundraiser to keep some field trips going, but you can't do local community fundraisers to really support the educational investments that we need to have in terms of the foundational aspects of the program.
Is it time to go electronic, either with the Nooks or Kindles?
I do applaud the state of California, and it was one of Schwarzenegger's pushes to do more what we call e-book resources. And yes, we're seeing a lot of that. A number of the online folks are putting more textbooks out there and other digital resources. Happy to say we have thousands of online digital resources available through our county media resource that teachers throughout the county access every year.
Because, but is it 100? I'm sure there's some kind of a discounting mechanism also if somebody
wants. Have a group purchase for the digital streaming.
It really becomes either affordable or, like you were talking about, maybe the community then adopts a couple of the kids and covers their costs
and provides some technology. Otherwise. That's a good point.
I think something like that might be one of those ways to maybe bridge for a couple of years. Who knows?
I agree.
All right. Hey, see, we ended up holding hands. Thanks for coming by, Gary.
Good to see you, Brian.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Gary Eagles. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.